Welcome to Big Blend Radio with your hosts, Lisa and Nancy, editors of BigBlendMagazine.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Big Blend Radio's Toast to the Art Show with Nancy and Lisa. Very excited today. We get to go back to our, well, not physically, but we'll be there soon to our hometown of Tucson, Arizona. And that means if we go to Arizona, we're going to chat with Lance Labor, the Tucson dude. Lance is the executive director of De Grazia Gallery in the Sun. It is a 10-acre historic landmark. It's in the foothills of the Santa Catalina Mountains. It's beautiful. And fall and winter, spring, you know, it's summer gets warm in Tucson, but you can go inside, right? And you can see saguaro flowers in bloom out there. But it's 10 acres, this incredible adobe gallery building. There's other buildings that also include Ted DeGrazia and his wife Marion's home. There's what's called the Little Gallery and also a mission. It was actually opened in 1965 and is home to 15,000 originals of Ted DeGrazia art pieces, including oil paintings, watercolors, ceramics, and sculptures. So there's six permanent collections on display, and all the time there's new exhibits coming in, and that's what we're going to talk about today. So I encourage you to go to degrazia.org. But first, welcome back, Tucson dude. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me.
Hey, we should say, how do you do, dude?
How do you do, dude?
Doing good. Summer's ending, so it's not as hot, and it's really beautiful.
It is a beautiful time of year in Tucson, and you know, I really liked winter too, because sometimes you get that snow cap on the mountains. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just so pretty to see in the desert. So hopefully you'll get some this year.
We're just looking for a little cool weather for a change.
Did you have a hot
summer? Snow would be good.
Yeah, a little snow would be good, but didn't you have like quite a record monsoon season?
Yeah, we had a really wonderful summer. It rained more than ever. I don't think I've ever seen this much rain in Tucson.
Wow.
But there was that stretch when it got so hot in California, and it even got to, you know, it was over 120 degrees in Canada. And we had a stretch here of about maybe, I don't know, 40 or 50 days that was pretty hot.
Mm. Mm. And then the rain comes and everybody's so like, happy. Oh, yeah. Wow. So it's I'm glad the gallery's open and running. I know it's been going for a while now. And I do want to kind of touch base for those who haven't heard our shows with you, and you've been on our shows for years, to touch on who Ted DeGrazia was and still is. He's still alive through his artwork, and also Marion, his wife's art, is also in the gallery, also permanently on display. But Ted DeGrazia, he the most reproduced artist in the world, and that really started for him becoming, I know he was he worked with Jose Orozco and then also Diego Rivera, worked with them, learned from them. They're like mentors basically to him, right, in Mexico.
Yeah, he apprenticed with Diego Rivera for a month or two, met these guys. They really supported him and wanted him to be successful. They loved his art, too.
Hmm. Well, his art is amazing. And he's really known for being Southwestern, whether it's, you know, flowers and saguaros, but really painting the people and showing how the cultures lived.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
The UNICEF card is what put him on the map. That and what mm-hmm. do you think? Was it the UNICEF card or everything he did with Arizona Highways? Which one came first?
Well, Arizona Highways kind of got the ball rolling in the early 40s for him. But in 1957, when he produced Los Niños, they saw that image and they got the permission to use that image, and they sold millions and millions of cards worldwide, and that really, really solidified him, put him on the map.
Was that around Christmas time?
Really took notice. I'm sorry, what
was that in Christmas time with that card, because it's with the Los Niños, because she looks like a little angel.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I'm not sure when he painted that, the time of year, but it made him big.
Really? I just know, I remember my Aunt Mona, she had those cards, you know, and it took me a while, like, I've seen this before. The first time I went in the gallery, I was like, I've seen this before. And I couldn't quite make the connection till later. And now I know that my Aunt Mona bought them.
Yeah.
Well, that's real common, Nancy, that people come in the gallery and say, I've never heard of this guy, but gosh, these paintings look so familiar.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they're able to put the image together with the artist's name. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, he's very widely known, but people don't necessarily remember or know his name anymore. Mm. I mean, he's been gone a while.
Well, it's interesting, too. You know, we talk about this all the time, actually, though, on the show, that Nancy and I'll go somewhere and there'll be a Ted DeGrazia painting mm-hmm. on the wall. And in fact, the last time we did an interview, I forgot to tell you, you know how we house and pets it as we travel and then we do bed and breakfast. I'm not necessarily always in city, but, you know, travel, you know, we're doing our normal tourism travel. But then when we're working and doing our production, we're home and pet sitting. And we were in Texas and lo and behold, you know, we went to go get a glass of water and they were Ted DeGrazia glasses. Oh, like, no way, no way. He's here. He's in Texas.
That's funny.
Which makes sense because he also painted the Cabeza de Vaca series of Cabeza coming through, which is now, he is known as the very first travel writer of Texas when they came through on that expedition and, you know, right. Get off your boat and you're crawling through the desert and sick and dying of heat. And that's a hell of a right. story. Well, no, you know, it's a story. Well, DeGrazia was into those. I think he was, you know, really into like Padre Kino. He even wrote books about it. But I think he had a thing like I do, like about Juan Bautista de Anza that did the expedition, and which is now, you know, part of the Juan Bautista de Anza National Historic Trail. But I think he traveled with Father Kino. I think that he was into people pushing their limits by going on these expeditions. I've been thinking about this because Cabeza de Vaca, Padre Kino went around meeting people. And I mean, even near you down the street in Casa Grande is the Casa Grande Ruins National Monument. And Padre Kino was there as part of the Anza Trail, wrote about it. And some of Ted DeGrazia's artwork is in there. And so it's interesting that he captures these people because I think he was into that history of movement but I think he liked people that, may I say, had the cojones to go off into the wilderness. Am I allowed
to say
that?
Cojones.
Well, he did do that. You know, DeGrazia was a very intellectual guy. You know, he had 3 degrees from the University of Arizona, so he was no slouch, and he was a student of history. And especially the history of the Southwest and Cabeza de Vaca, you know, trekking through Texas, New Mexico, and Arizona, that was part of the history. And DeGrazia was all in. Same way with Father Kino, the same way with the Tohono O'odham Indians, the Yaqui Indians. He felt this need to share the history of the people of the Southwest that normally, you know, you don't hear.
Yeah, it's exactly true. You know, you don't. Yeah, I kind of consider, I know it's a gallery, but it's also a museum in a way that by looking at his artwork, and I love that you have the rotating exhibits, which we'll talk about the ones that are current going through into January. But when you go in and see like the Cabeza de Vaca series, it's a series. That so you're really looking at what happened in history through his paintings. It's not just one individual one. There's this whole, this is what went down, you know?
I think he didn't want the people to be left out, the indigenous people to be left out, because sometimes in history that happens.
Yeah.
So I think he had a soft spot for the indigenous people that he really respected and liked them. And he wanted to make
Those were his people. They were his drinking buddies.
That's funny. So he didn't want them to be left out. You know, it's like, hey, this is happening. This happened. And and they were there.
Exactly.
That's right.
I love that. Exactly. Love that about him.
So the gallery, let's talk about the gallery real quick too, for, you know, because I know a lot of people travel to Tucson, you know, it's that season. Those who are wanting to get out of that big Wisconsin snow that we were in last year, winter.
I know why them.
I know they're like, hey, I'm not traveling, so I'm getting out. So the gallery itself is something he built by hand with his local friends.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. So he started, the first thing he built was the Mission in the Sun, the little church. That was finished in 1952. And then he built his little gallery and his home. And that gave him a place to, kind of just a base of operations, a place to work and sell his art. And then in 1959, he started building his main gallery, which is a giant 16,000 square foot adobe gallery that's just filled with his art. And that was finished in 1965. Mm. That's been the main gallery since.
It's amazing. I remember the first time Nancy and I came to the gallery and met you. We were on a media trip, you know, travel writing media trip to Tucson. And we lived in Joshua Tree at that time. Didn't know we were going to end up in Tucson, but it was that trip that kind of sold us, you know. Suddenly we're like, what about Tucson, man? Going in the gallery, I mean, Nancy, you and I were like, this ain't no normal gallery. Like, it was fun.
It's like
and
cool.
Unique. It's the art, cool. Just the architecture, because everything's so rounded with the adobe. And then, you know, the Cholla cactus floors. Just, you know, I love the cactus corral, the courtyard with the fountain, the Yaki dancer fountain, mm-hmm. and all the cactus and the flowers. And then you go to the, you know, the mission, like you're saying, you go to his house, the little gallery, which we will talk about in a second, because you've got artists, the visiting artists coming in. But Nancy, that was one of those things for us. Went, okay, this is cool. Like,
well, because
we've got to live here.
it's not snobby.
Yeah,
you know, it's very homey and welcoming. You know, and I really believe that most people walk through in some way or another, like, I have seen this before. I really do. I think he did such a good job of getting his paintings out that. Through UNICEF and wherever, that most people back in their memory, you know, I've seen this before. Mm-hmm. Just like I did, you know.
Yep. Very familiar. Very familiar artwork.
Oh man! And so now there's a whole new generation of people walking through, you know. So he's keeping his history. There's Marion de Grazia's art and keeping her history, but also protecting the history of the indigenous people through his art, which is amazing. Yeah. I think that is so cool. The little gallery, that's something that happens every year, November through spring, like April. And I was looking at the list. So you have visiting gallerists, artists coming to the gallery, gallerist. That's my new word, by the way.
Gallerist. I like
gallerist.
It.
I kind of like that. I'm a gallerist. Lance is a gallerist. Lance,
yes,
are you
is.
A gallerist? He's an executive gallerist.
I've been called that among other things.
Well, you're the Tucson dude, so you could be the Tucson dude gallerist of DeGrasse.
Right.
But so November 7th is when you get your first artist in, Brian Bill, and he's watercolors and recycled material. So basically, it looks like artists come in for about a week to 10 days.
And they come in for 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Yeah, I can't count, Lance. Come on. You know I can't count.
2 weeks, and there's, I believe there's 13 artists through the whole season.
Yeah, that's a lot. I mean, I'm looking at the kind of art, Russell Rechion, Pamela Ambrosio, Ursel Garau. Oh, I can't pronounce everyone. I'm going to stop on my head. But you've got watercolors, mixed media, colored pencils, oil on canvas, visual art illustrations, metal, wood, and stone, recycled material. That's cool. So this is going on starting November 7th. So everyone, the list of artists, and you'll probably pronounce it way better than me, all their names, is degrazia.org is a website to go. Just look for under gallery. You'll see little gallery, and they have a list of the artists coming in. I love it when the little galleries open. You know, so you can go, you see the new exhibits, you see the, you know, the regular, you know, ones that are always on display of Ted DeGrazia and Marion's art. But going down there, there's always something new, especially over the holiday season in the winter, you know, to go and see something new and bright and colorful. So it, that's such a cool thing. Did he start that tradition of having...
No, when DeGrazia died in 1982, Mrs. DeGrazia decided that she wanted to open that place up and give artists a chance. And so that's what we did. And so, no, it didn't open up for guest artists until after his death.
Wow. What about this collective that he had? Because it seems like he had like a cottage industry going with his art. Like he,
you mean like his guild?
Yeah, his guild. Yeah. So,
well, he had a guild of about a dozen artists that reproduced his images in all kinds of things, you know, magnets and metal and, you know, plastic, you know, they were just all these reproductions that other artists would make out of his images, and he would approve them. And that went on for many years. They were all made for a sale in the gift shop. And most of those people are gone now. There's a couple of them, few of them left, but most of those people have all passed.
Wow. Wow. So he was, I mean, you got to think, because he wasn't sending things off to being printed and stuff like that. So this was kind of, or was he at that point? Because
he was ahead of his time.
Yeah, he really was.
Printing his reproductions was a different thing than reproducing these other products. There was a point in time that he was producing so much stuff and selling so much stuff. It's mind-boggling. The people that were coming to see him and the people that were buying stuff from him, it was just amazing.
Oh, man. That's
thousands and thousands and thousands of people flocking to see him.
Wow. That's amazing. Yeah. Even Paul McCartney. I just have to always bring that up. Even Paul McCartney came out and said, hey, I want to check out the gallery. And DeGrazia said, it's 4 o'clock, you're out.
It's a true story.
I love that. I know we talk about that on the show all the time, but I think that's so funny because it's like, I don't care how rich and famous you are.
Get out.
It's 4 o'clock.
Yeah, well, it's time for me to go home. I'm going home and I'm going to go have a drink of Chivas and everybody else can go.
But then Lee Marvin was allowed to come over at that point and have.
Marvin's different.
Yeah,
Lee Marvin, and DeGrazia were drinking buddies.
Yeah, so. I'd like to see that.
Basically, what's his name? McCartney didn't know the password was Chivas.
Yeah,
you know?
If he had known.
If he brought a bottle with him, maybe things would have changed.
Yes, he didn't. Maybe he would have gotten to stay. Yeah, and he didn't know how to sing. I was born under a western
star. A wandering star.
He did not know how to sing it. That's the best drunk song ever.
Yeah, I could see DeGrazia sing because he was a musician too, and his son Domingo is an amazing flamenco and Spanish guitarist. So music was in it. He didn't stop at what he could do. Creative wise, and that's also, you know, we always talk about all the different things that are created. You're talking about the gift shop. You can go in and get all kinds of Christmas decorations, gift cards, calendars for 2022, of obviously prints, reproduction prints. There's books, anything you need in the kitchen, anything you want for table displays. I mean, it's like you could have a DeGrazia home, and that you could go to town in the gift shop. It's dangerous. It's dangerous in there. So much. So everybody, DeGrazia.org, if you aren't in Tucson, you can buy online. But if you're in Tucson, you can go shopping and have a good time in there.
Especially for the holidays.
Yeah, the gift shop. Do you get people buying from across the country like that aren't coming into Tucson yet, but they know somebody's a collector or loves DeGrazia? Because that gift shop's pretty, you have a ton. Let's just put it that way. You have a lot that goes on in there.
Yeah, and we have cookbooks too. We have DeGrazia cookbooks.
I didn't know that.
Wow.
Well.
Talking about our exhibit, Dinner with DeGrazia, that's what it's based on.
No way.
We have a new exhibit called Dinner with DeGrazia. And what happened was DeGrazia and a woman named Rita Davenport, who lived up in Phoenix, they collaborated. She wrote the cookbook and he did all the illustrations for it. And they're all really cute little watercolors, you know, ladies with tortillas and everybody cooking. Cool. And all of those watercolors are now on display with the cookbooks. And then all of the oil paintings that DeGrazia did of people having dinner and, you know, eating corn and making tortillas. And there's a whole gamut of paintings that are really interesting.
Wow. Because I know I've seen the one with watermelons and
That's all part. That's all part of it.
Wow. That is so cool. I didn't know a cookbook was all involved in this.
Well, yeah, that was cool. The basis of the show is the cookbook.
Wow.
Okay. Well, I want a recipe for our Eat, Drink, Be Merry magazine. Thank you very much. I think everybody's going to want one now after that. That is so cool. Because it goes well, too, with what you have in the gift shop, too, because you have things that go in the kitchen with his art on it, too. Like even the glasses that I saw in, you know, Texas.
right.
Yeah. So, you know, that is cool. The other one, you know, we're talking about DeGrazia will create on anything is DeGrazia Recycled. So these were what, ceiling board scraps that he painted on?
So when they were building the main gallery, DeGrazia painted every ceiling plank in the whole place. He painted them all by hand. And when they were through building the ceiling, there were planks left over, which he cut up and painted on and sold, of course. And I mean, there's a whole room full of these painted ceiling planks, and even the knots that came out of the little round wood knots that came out of the planks, he painted.
Wow. Cool. Wow.
So that's a really interesting display.
Wow. I didn't know that. So you guys kept hold of these, or because I know you have a consignment room too in the gallery where people bring things and sell them.
Right. All of these wood paintings are part of our collection. We've got a huge collection. I mean, DeGrazia sold a lot of these things and we see some of them occasionally. These are all part of our permanent collection.
How did the permanent collection come to be? Because there's a time when he went into the Superstition Mountains and burned artwork because of the tax laws and, you know, wanting to protect the family on all the taxes, which is still just...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, because he was burning stuff, but then selling a whole bunch. And then, was it him that said, okay, this needs to be a permanent collection or his estate?
We have this huge collection. I mean, we have, you know, probably close to 20,000 pieces in our collection. When he did his tax protest, he burned 100 paintings. So a very calculated move, very painful for him, but, you know, he knew what he was doing. And, 100 paintings was $1.5 million. But again, it was only 100 paintings out of 20,000. And that's only what we have in our collection. That's not what's in private hands. There's probably that much art out there.
Sure.
So the permanent collection, he just started putting stuff away. He would sell stuff, but the lion's share of it was a permanent collection. And anything that was very popular that he noticed that people really wanted, he would make prints of, and he would keep the original. So all of those originals are, or 99% of them are with us. And the rest, you know, we make reproductions of those famous mm-hmm. and special paintings that people want. So they yeah. get prints and get to keep the originals.
Yeah, it's
awesome.
That is cool. And I mean, I just love the gallery. It's a National Historic Landmark, people, for a reason. You know, many reasons, you know. That's so cool. And I remember you guys getting on the national, remember those National Geographic maps that were being made, which really were cool.
Yes.
I met with some of the people that were putting them together, going into the different communities and making sure cultural and natural landmarks were all put on these maps through National Geographic. And you guys are on that map too. You had to be like pretty esteemed to get there. Yeah. I have to have that value in there. And I thought, I loved that map project that they did. I think it's one of the coolest things ever, because it just, it was about keeping sense of place. And I think it also reminded communities not to tear down history.
Right.
You know? And I think DeGrazia understood that, not to to keep things, to remember who people are, what they do, their traditions, and also the nature part of it too, you know? So it's, that's cool that you guys were on that map. I don't know. Can people get them still? I wonder. It must be on their website, be able to look at them. But
that I don't know.
That taught me a lot about the Sonoran Desert, those maps when they were doing that. But this is, so we've got the dinner with DeGrazia, DeGrazia Recycled. We talked a bit before the last time you were on the show on the DeGrazia Superstition Mountain Collection, which of course we were just talking about how he burned his collection there. But that doesn't that kind of also tie into some of his work with Arizona Highways Magazine? We were talking about that earlier, but he had a book on that too. But
yeah, he did a huge collection on the Superstition Mountains. DeGrazia had a real connection to those mountains. And if people don't know, the Superstition Mountains are just east of Phoenix. Apache Junction is where the Superstitions are. And he used to do a lot of prospecting for gold. And he would go up, he would pack up into the mountains, and sometimes he'd take people with him, sometimes he'd go by himself. And so he had a real connection to the Superstition Mountains. He actually had a gallery up there too at one time. He built a gallery, which is gone now. But he really loved the Superstition Mountains, and he loved the legend of the Lost Dutchman, and kind of made that legend his own. And you know, people have been looking for his paintings that are supposedly hidden in those mountains. They've been looking for him for years.
Oh wow!
Oh fun! I like
oh,
that.
Oh my gosh, that's. Yeah, you're right. I think he really did think about it all, you know?
Yeah, he's smart.
He was a smart guy. And
yeah, he's smart.
He didn't let any marketing opportunity pass him by. And if he had a way to, you know, promote himself through the mountains or however it was, he did.
Yeah, that's, you know, I laugh at it too, you know. Not laugh at it, but I admire what
that's
he's
cool.
doing. But there's this guy, an eccentric, I think, you know, pretty well-to-do guy that, and I wish I had his name off the top of my hat, but we have a friend that followed his book. He went around and buried treasure around this country, these historic places. He's got a book on it, and the book will tells you the history of an area and give you all these riddles and clues where this treasure is. And we're talking gold and stuff like DeGrazia and him should have met. You know what I was talking about with Phil, Nancy, going out to say,
it's kind of the forerunner of geocaching.
Way, but I mean, there's real treasure, right?
Yeah.
Real freaking treasure. Like, remember the one guy that just found all that treasure up in Colorado, like a treasure chest?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, I see DeGrazia doing stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, and just having that kind of
I think
doesn't he like the fact that there's a museum and gallery going on that he's passed on, but his name is still out there, he's still marketing, you know what I mean? I think he's into that.
Absolutely. That hopefully will never end.
No, you guys are a landmark, and you just won best gallery in Tucson, right? through one of the...
Well, we won that a long time ago, so that's nothing new. I certainly know it's Hori in Tucson.
Well, there... Oh, take that. Take that, Tucson. You keep winning that, though. I keep seeing myself. I'm like, yeah, you win. You always... You deserve it, you guys. It's like, everyone, go vote for the best gallery. Yeah, we know Degrassi's going to win.
It's just a special place, you know.
It is because it's unique.
There's no other place on the planet like Degrassi Gallery in the Sun. There isn't. And, you know, we've been on the show with you for years, but there's always a new story. There's always something, like, quirky to come out of it, you know. There's always something lingering in the woodwork at Degrassi.
Yeah.
You know, that's
it's
the truth of it.
It's full of surprises.
Before I forget, abstract paintings of Ted DeGrazia. Now, that was something that was going to close in September, that exhibit, but it's still moving forward. So all the exhibits we're talking about run through January 26, 2022. The little gallery goes from November 7th, 2021 through April 8th, 2022. So a lot going on. But abstract paintings, like, again, he decided I was going to do that too. I mean, why not? So
he did a lot of abstracts, and the reason that got extended was because of COVID. Because we were closed for so long, and that was hanging during that time, and people really didn't get a chance to see it. So we've left it up for a little while.
Yeah. And for those planning out in spring coming, I know end of January, these exhibits will change out. Of course, we'll have Lance back on the show. But also know that in spring every year you have the Way of the Cross, because if you don't, the nuns are going to come and hit you over the head. Yeah, for sure. There, that's always a highlight, not just, you know, for everyone. People come out for that. So watch for that exhibit too. Everyone, it's degrazia.org is the website. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. They always have great posts on there. So, and Chris is the one who does that, right? She does all the posts. On, she does such an awesome job. She makes me feel at home. Like, I'm like, okay, you know, we'll be out somewhere in a swamp filming an alligator. Then I'll look at my phone. Oh, a new DeGrazi painting. Cool. I feel at home again. And then I get bitten by the alligator. Just kidding. But it can happen. But degrazia.org is the website. And of course, keep up with us at bigblendradio.com. And now we're starting to air daily. So every day from 4 p.m. or 4 p.m. Pacific time, 7 p.m. Eastern time. After daylight savings, that would be 5 p.m. Arizona time. So I don't know what day that will happen. I don't know what your daylight savings time is anymore. But Arizona is interesting with that. Everyone's used to it being almost the same as Pacific time.
We don't have daylight savings time.
Yeah. You guys don't, you just don't want to deal with it.
Nope. But we don't need it.
We know.
That's right.
Sun 365 days a year.
I know. Oh, man. Well, Tucson, dude, it's always a pleasure having you on the show. And we look forward to seeing you in February as we head across west. We got to go through Tucson, you know?
Yeah, we do.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it.